Welcome back at it again at Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located not in Quincy Point tonight, but we're in the penthouse in Quincy Center, having a day. Tonight, we have a special show for you. For the first time, a two-for-one special, as Quincy Hoop legends Anthony Green and former Curry College Colonel Lombros, Papa Lombros, join the show. We talk about their experience with the game of basketball and college hoops, along with some March Madness talk, and even with Lombros, we've gotten some NBA talk. Oh, it was special. Afterwards, the boys go over the beginning of NFL free agency, along with Bill Belichick and the Pats putting a clinic early, signing guys like Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. We got a lot tonight, guys, right?
Yeah, let's fucking ride.
It's March Madness.
Let's go.
Let's go. Happy St. Paddy's Day late, I mean.
Yeah.
Hope you guys
exactly.
Let it rip.
Shaking it off. Let's go.
So buckle up and strap in. We'll start with former Northeastern Husky, Anthony Green. And we're here with, Quincy native, former Northeastern Husky, two-time now Steel and Naz guest, Anthony Green. Hey, what's going on, man? I know it's a rainy night, but it's great to talk to you tonight.
No, thanks for having me guys again. It's great. I'm glad to be back on here again.
Oh yeah.
Is this our first reoccurring guest?
No.
Lights out Lang's been here like four times.
Yeah, come on, buddy.
Get some respect on the champ's name.
So what have you been up to, Anthony, in terms of basketball? Anything going on in terms of, I know you're playing overseas, any workouts going on right now?
I mean, just like everyone, it's been a really crazy year. It's going to be Sunday. It's going to be a year since I came back, since last year got canceled. Just been kind of, it's been that long. It's crazy. Just been kind of sticking to the routine, just working out, just seeing what's kind of going on over there. For a while, it was kind of like hit or miss. Teams were in contact, looking for players, but they'd go with other people. Some typically people with dual citizenships and whatnot, just easier to get them in,
Yeah, exactly.
So that was kind of the theme for a while,
Yeah, exactly. So where have you been, working out? You've been going down the mountain? I'm sure not, but like any indoor facilities or anything like that?
Taking some scalps from some little kids.
That would be so funny if I was
there. Right, just have Barrett and the kids down here so I can play. But, send them out here. Yeah, I'll work them out for the summer real quick, right? I was doing a lot of outside and Zoom workouts for the beginning of quarantine, working with my trainers. We found different ways to kind of get in. The last few months though, we've really been able to get in the gym and kind of tackle things, and honestly, like I was talking to you the last few days, like today and yesterday, and just being just crazy right now trying to get this thing going for me right now. So it's looking like I'm going to land in Australia.
Wow. Ooh. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
Australia, awesome. Let's go.
Are you going to the Breakers where RJ Hampton played?
No, I'd be going to so Breakers are in NBL. I'd be going to the NBL one, which is like their G League over there. So I'd be going there. I'd play there. And if I play well, there is a chance I could get brought up to an NBL team.
That's an intense thing.
Let's go. That's awesome. That's a huge upgrade, in my opinion, over Spain. Australia, that's way cooler, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's just, staying the course and staying patient during this whole year, and finally getting something like this. It's going to Australia, man, I can't even put into words.
A blessing, man. And have you been doing your research? Like, anything you've looked out there in terms of customs? Or I know they have a crazy wildlife out there, coral reefs and stuff.
Yeah, I'm
just very interested in Australia.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I heard koalas aren't friendly.
I've been hearing stuff about the koalas, the freaking Tasmanian devils. Someone said every house has a house spider that keeps other bad spiders out. I'm like, oh, come on.
Oh, no.
That's tough.
What are we doing here, guys? All right.
Yeah, good God.
Go back to Spain, man.
Yeah, I lied. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm not taking no high spider. It's either the house spider or me, guys.
Straight up.
Now, is there a sense of preparation and a timetable for when you're going to go there or anything? Or is that stuff not set up yet?
It's moving quick, so
it works.
It's looking like next week.
Oh,
Breaking news.
Nice.
Breaking news. Wow. Let's go.
Yeah. I've just been on the phone with them for, well, should be hours, kind of leading up to this, just kind of talking to them, seeing what their input is. And if me leaving next week, that means I'm able to play in the first game on April 10th.
How bad are you itching to like play again in like that game, obviously?
It's been real humbling. You know, like I went through kind of like the ups and downs of like, what am I doing? I need to find somewhere. And now I'm just like, now that I got the chance to go play again, it's like, I won't be sitting at home this long ever again. I'm going to make sure.
Have you done any scrimmaging, any type of like, you know, with the Boston native people who are stuck here, you know, trying to kind of grind the same way you are, you know, played with anybody lately, or
get
is that
the fives
not even
going?
Allowed? Yeah.
Yeah. We were, I was able to get a few pickup games this summer. A lot of local pros were home, so we got to do that for a few times at some gyms. Got in with some of the Celtics guys a few times. So nice. it was a good summer, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a team name that you've been discussing with, or is that just not be brought up right now?
Look, name would be Norwood Flames.
The Norwood Flames. Yeah, I'm going to get myself an Anthony.
Wow, I got a Norwood Flames jersey in the mail already.
I'm going to get an Anthony Green Norwood Flames jersey. Let's ride.
Norwood Flames, baby. Now, what part of Australia is that? Are you in like a good part?
I would, yeah, I'd be in South Australia, so I'd be right to the left of Melbourne. I don't know Australian geographic too well, but I know it's like a few hours from Melbourne.
I know Melbourne and Sydney are like the spots.
You want to be down south.
Yeah.
Up north, it's the Outback.
Yeah,
that much I know.
Yeah,
so
there's no basketball.
Yeah.
Although, quick plug, the Outback Steakhouse, like, that place is awesome.
Bloomin' Onions, baby. Bloomin'
Onions. Yes.
God bless them.
I got one like a week or two ago.
Did you?
It was fucking unreal. Yeah,
I'm so jealous.
Anyway, Anthony, back on the subject. So this week, it's the NCAA March Madness tournament coming up. It's going to be a different style of form. Does this week, I know you played in a game. Does it bring back the memories? Does it bring back anything like that at all?
Yeah, I mean, just like thinking back to it, I mean, when I was watching Selection Sunday and reading into it and just seeing all of it go down, I mean, for the teams that aren't in that high major category, that are in the mid-major, that won their conference and did everything they could to get to that point in their life, I mean, that's something that you will take with you everywhere you go, you know? Like, that, just the anticipation, there's so much going through you, like, through your mind, body, the way you feel leading up to that day. And then, for me personally, it was, I was excited, and then as like each minute got closer to figuring out, I was super anxious. And then once I saw it was Kansas on the thing, I just erupted. Like, the way that it just all goes down, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, Bill Self, you know, someone you see, you know, growing up your whole life who's coaching, and then you're going to play up against him. That's an unbelievable.
Was that the Wayne Selden team there that you played against, the Boston kid?
No, Wayne was a few years before me. Okay. So the team that I played against had like Devon Dodson and their big man McCormick and everything. So they had a legit squad.
Were you like, oh fuck, or like fuck it, let's go?
I was like, you couldn't tell me anything. I was ready to run through a damn wall. I would run through any kind of wall to get there. I was like, you know what? We're doing this one way or the other, you know? Like, we're giving us everything we got, whether we get the shit kicked out of us or we fight tooth and nail to win this thing, you know?
So how does a team, like, prepare for an NCAA tournament game? I mean, obviously this year there won't be, like, a big crowd or anything, but just, like, throw me back to back then where it's like, all right, we're playing Kansas. You know, we have to really adjust to, you know, that's a really good team you have on the other side there. And what are we going to do to win this game?
It's you know, coaches get back, they do their due diligence, they get their film ready for us for the next day. We kind of, the next few days kind of leading up to it, that Monday, Tuesday is really just fundamentals for us. Like, what are our strengths against them? Like, what are we going to be able to do really well that will keep us in the long run of this game? And also, what's going to be our big defensive scheme to stop them with what they're good at, you know?
Yeah.
Because what were you saying?
No, I was just saying, taking away their major strengths. I have something to relate to, you know, Northeastern being the underdog. I'm in a bracket busters, you know, challenge or something, and I got through North Texas, and instead of being upset about it because they're more likely going to lose at Purdue, you know, I'm on the North Texas train right now.
Yeah.
Why not you?
There's nothing better than obviously the underdog. Those first round games.
Those first 2 days are the best.
I would want, like, if I were on one of the teams, like the mid majors or something, I would want, like, the biggest of the big dog. Like, I would be like Kansas.
Yeah.
Duke.
Would you?
If we're going to do it, let's
still
do it.
I don't know. Like, that's true.
Watching Coach K cry would be beautiful.
I'm with you there. I want Duke. That's my answer.
I watched Steph Curry's highlights in the NCAA tournament the other day. And that was one of the most remarkable. I mean, he is the greatest shooter of all time, in my opinion, probably in most people's opinions. But just there was a coming out party and just seeing him take down, who they take down, like Kansas and other teams like that.
It was a murderous route. Yeah. I forget the exact
name. It was insane. It just really appreciates you for the tournament because guys like Steph Curry and people come out of the tournament not knowing who they actually are, and then they turn out to be
God knows what Hall Davidson famous. Was before that.
Do you have any favorites for this tourney?
This year, I haven't really watched too much. I've watched a few games here and there, but honestly, as of watching closely the last few weeks, I've kind of been feeling Illinois. You know, they've kind of they've shocked a lot of people. They're bigs and they're guards. They've got it all going on for them, honestly.
Yep, Big Orange is back, baby.
I'm going with the Zags, the undefeated team. But you know, undefeated teams, I guess, are made to be beat. But I'm not buying it this time around.
I'm thinking of freaking Kentucky when they had that luck, and look at them now.
They got stooped. Them and Duke didn't make the tournament this year.
It's good to have 50 grand.
It's good to have the tourney back after last year.
It is. Yeah, no.
Last year was such a disappointment. That was the beginning of the downfall when they were like, March Madness is done.
That was step one.
I took 2 days off of work to watch those games. I did actually. I went to work. I was like, "Fuck it." It's March.
Yeah.
Now, Anthony, with your experience, like, do you think this whole, because it's going to be one neutral site? I think there's two courts in Indianapolis. Do you think that's a huge deal in terms of, like, this tournament was all over the country before?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna level the playing field in some aspect. You know, just kind of.
It's everyone's house.
There's so much going on. You're going to be able to really centralize, like, all right, all of us are here, you know, like no one's at like a advantage or disadvantage to have more fans come or this, that, or the other, you know, like for us, we went out to Utah, and just playing in that altitude was a lot harder than for people that were playing in like Connecticut or something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that plays a thing into it. And also just being out there and just like thinking, it's like, all right, like, who's like, how are these other teams doing out in the, like, in the Northwest or the Southwest division right now? Like, how they make out today?
Exactly.
There's so much going on and playing in your mind, you know?
You don't even know what to look at, if who's winning, who's losing, what region what region would we play if we get to the Final Four? You know what I mean? Just like little things like that, that I feel like that makes the tournament so special. It's like, oh wow, we just won our region. Like, who do we play next? Yeah, like, you don't even know that.
Yeah, what's coming on?
Yeah, exactly. You're mapping out like the perfect route. It's like, all right, if we beat them, and if they win, we play them, and if like we beat them, and we end up here, and it's like there's just so much playing into that, and that the game just becomes like way more mental than it needs to be, and that's the fun about it, you know?
Yeah, like if you're a team like Kansas or at least the Duke in the past, you can kind of look forward to, you know, who you would actually play in that round. But like, if talking about a team like North Texas, like, you're just hoping to get out of the first game.
Was North Texas the movie, the team the movie was about that made?
Nah, no, that was Texas UTEP. Western.
Texas Western.
Yep. Glory Road.
Quality film.
You know what? I wanted to get behind you. I wanted to get you all hopped up there.
I'll bring you back on your career. So I had this question. Quincy question of the night, I guess, sponsored by whoever you want to be sponsored. Quincy Eats. There you go. What kind of Quincy roots do you still bring to the game? Like, obviously you went to North Quincy, but you're from you live in Quincy. Anything that you've been like that's been sticking with you your whole career that's still going on?
Pretty much the thing that's kind of still sticks in the back of my head is I have a photo. I ended up blowing it up when I got back and putting up in my room where I'm staying at now. And it's a picture of me at the free throw line versus North Quincy, our senior year. And it's the Quincy North Quincy game at North Quincy where it was packed to the brim. They pulled the bleachers out from the back, yep. And students are on the floor, and it's just like that type of thing, you know, like that's like what basketball and sports are all about, like for moments like that. And that's something that will always stick with me forever. And it's just, I mean, not even like the dunk photos I have, but something just as simple as that, you know.
Some people would compare that game and that energy probably to the NCAA tournament. I mean,
absolutely.
Those games were unreal.
Those games were – the one I think he's talking about specifically, I was there. I remember you had like a dunk, and I'm seeing Rob Lucas in the back of the line. Just go,
yes,
just go
that one. That exact one, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That exact game, yep.
Let's go.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, quite the game there. So my last question here I have. So – what's the end game kind of your basketball career? I mean, are you just trying to go as far as it takes you, or what's like the real ultimate goal here?
The real ultimate goal is to play as hard as I can for as long as I can, see how far I can take this until, you know, until I know it's time for me to hang it up. And then once that's all said and done, there's a few things I might want to do. I'm not kind of sure. I mean, thinking about it, maybe I might want to get into coaching of some sort, or maybe go back and get into physical therapy and pursue that. Nice. And try to stay within the world of sports somehow, or a few other things, you know. It's kind of, it changes every year kind of from time to time now, seeing just how things kind of progress. I mean, I do really enjoy coaching. I did a lot of that this summer with some people, and just kind of really watching the game and breaking it down. Like, I really enjoy it and understand it. So I think that's something that I'm kind of probably look into when it's said and done, you know.
You never know what opportunities you'll find in Australia too. Who knows? That yeah. might become yeah, like exactly, a, you might know? Become a outdoorsman, a
senator.
Yeah. Anything could happen there. But an exciting exactly. new chapter coming.
Absolutely.
Super excited, man.
We're gonna come visit, I hope. I've never been to Australia, but now I have a legitimate excuse to go.
Australia in a heartbeat. I'm in.
Oh, I know. Like, who wouldn't want to go there, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah,
just make sure your house spider clears the rest of the house.
Make sure that we go to all our guests' sporting events. So.
I can deal with one.
Yeah, I can deal with one, but can't be inviting their friends over.
Yeah, damn yeah, right. Damn right.
Anthony, Norwood Flames, man, best of luck to you. Always great you coming on the show. And, best of luck on that flight and, you know, everything with your basketball career going forward. We'll sure be watching. And, you got a bunch of fans over here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, guys. I can't wait to get started over there and see how things go, you know, and represent Quincy and Massachusetts, you know.
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Love yep.
It. Thank you for coming on again, man.
Thank you.
Of course, guys.
Was Anthony Green heading to Australia? You know, that was breaking news, huh, guys?
Yeah, amazing. Australia, let's go.
Schefter didn't get that one.
Yeah, the Norwood
put a shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah.
So we're gonna.
I'm gonna butcher the Dumb and Dumber one. I'm not gonna go for it. I'm going to Australia to go watch the Norwood Flames game.
Absolutely, I'm all in. So now with our March Madness special here, we're going to transition on to former Curry College player, Quincy legend, Lambros Papalambros. So I know that's a mouthful, but get used to it, because here we go.
Lamy for short.
Lamy for short. Now Lambros Papalambros. Here we go. We're now joined by Quincy legend, former Curry College basketball player, now a coach here, Lambros Papalambros. How are we doing tonight?
I'm great, guys. I'm great, man. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. The first thing I just want to get out of the way, how many, like, PA announcers just, like, messed up your name, man? That's just a tough thing going.
Oh, man. You have no idea. My father used to have to go to, like, the PA guy before the game when we were on the road in college. I'm saying every game my dad would walk up to him. I think he was more tired of getting butchered than me. I'm used to it by now, man. You know?
Yeah, draining a three in somebody's face, and then it's just like, oh, you fuck. You yeah, blew it.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your career a little bit. So I don't want to do the year number. I have it on down the sheet here, but what was like, you went to Archie's, you know, big program at the time. You guys went to the Garden. Like, how was that experience like?
Oh, my goodness, man. First of all, what made it so special is we were all, I mean, best friends. We're still really good friends. You guys know Drew, of course. Doug Myers is, tight with Doug. And thing about that is we actually decided to, like, form our own AU team. And I think it was ninth grade, maybe. And we, man, we played probably six or eight tournaments in the fall and the spring, like, together. And we would get our ass kicked sometimes, man. Oh, my God. Excuse my friend.
You're good. But, you're good.
But it built that chemistry, you know. We learned how to win together and everything. And then it all came together junior year. And we snuck up on people. And, man, it almost happens. It's over before you even realize it, guys. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You play
with what was the AAU team you guys formed?
What was that?
What was the AAU team that you guys formed?
It was actually, that's a great question. The EMAS Jayhawks, right?
Wow. So when you're trying to make
an AAU team, there's like all these names you can't use. There's way more names you cannot use than you can, it feels like. So, like, it might have been our 10th choice. We're like, all right, whatever.
Do you recall, like, the first one where you guys, like, we have to be this?
Yeah. I think it was something like bomb, like, like something bombers, like, I don't know. something too violent. Imagine now, gosh, now it's times 10.
I was going to say,
yeah, there's probably like six names
that
now.
That was before, like, AAU was even kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a different landscape, man, and I'm sure we'll get into it now, you know.
Yeah. Did you get an opportunity to play at the Garden?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We should have won, too. We were up like 13. We had them.
Who was it against?
Minuteman Regional. Oh, gosh. They drew from a large radius, and they had speed up and down the court.
They sound like the bad guy in a movie. Like the bad team.
I'm trying to be a good guy.
I think I was at that game, and it was like literally you guys should not have lost that game. And I kind of remember
we definitely were there.
I wasn't even in high school yet, though. But my brother was there.
What do you remember about the game?
I remember Hooters after, honestly. I was in eighth grade.
I called my mom. I was like, am I going to get in trouble for this? I remember that. You're right.
But
I remember it was a great game. I know that.
I remember James just being James Marcellus there, fucking being just dominating with you guys. And I can't remember if you were who. I can't remember the game, but I just remember being like, how the hell did they just lose that? I actually do remember that.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? We were I think we were up as many as 13 in the second half. I remember we missed a lot of free throws down the stretch, and I'm not trying to make an excuse. I don't even know if I missed one of those free throws. I missed some big shots. But I'm saying I will make an excuse for my guys. The depth perception there was crazy. Like, there's no fans in the back. Like, yeah, no, I couldn't hit a three to save my life, so I'm not trying to.
I never really thought about that.
It's like, a lot different than that Archie's gym.
Everything's all close up.
Yes, the back. Exactly. You got Archie's, like, small gyms are shooters' gyms because you got the back wall as, like, a reference point, kind of. And, the Garden is just the opposite.
Actually, man. I got a good story for the Archie's gym. So,
please.
So Miles B. Buchanan, Maddie's brother.
Oh yeah.
We're sitting in, like, you know, the top balcony there, like the top.
Oh yeah.
The best, baby.
Yeah.
That's the sixth man up there.
That was like probably like 08, 09, something like that. So laser pointers, like, were really in big play there, and he started doing it to the visitors, like. Guys, and they started missing the free throws. He thought he got away with it. The next day, I think Tarpy, like, goes into whatever class he's in and just hands him a quick suspension.
You always get caught there, no matter like how good you are.
Did they win the game, though?
And not miss Baxter.
For real. I don't think so. I think that was the year you guys went 1-19.
Oh, yeah, that was a great year. That was a tough one. Great year. I was on that roster.
So, run it through me quick, because I mean, you were one of the top players in high school. I did my homework. You were like a CCL runner-up MVP. So what was that experience trying to like get to the next level? Because it definitely took some strides and everything for you to have an opportunity at that, right?
No, that's a awesome question. I was a little different than, you know, a lot of the guys who were getting accolades at that time because I was like a late bloomer, right? Like the doctor always told me I was going to be so tall. All of a sudden, I'm a sophomore in high school. I'm still 5'6" with slow feet, and you know, and all
sounds
of
like
a sudden,
me now. Yeah,
sounds like me now too.
That was gold.
Makes two of us. So, like, I kind of I grew going into my junior year. I always worked my game extremely hard, so the skills were there, you know. And then I did plyometrics in that summer, so I shot up to like 6'2", but I didn't get that awkward stage, you know, and that helps. That helps so much. So that junior year helped like burst me on the scene. And then, you know, we played like big time AAU. I played big time AAU that next year instead of playing with the guys, you know, to try to get seen by more colleges and everything.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, there's like if when you grow, you either just become extremely goofy and just terrible. And
you know,
that's it.
Yeah.
Or you don't. And then you're actually you're very good at sports.
I feel like that happened to Anthony Green too.
Yeah,
he definitely wasn't as tall.
Oh no,
as
he has the craziest one.
Yeah,
he went
like a
5'11" to 6'2" to 6'5" to all the way to 6'11" his senior year. Like,
oh shit,
crazy. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I forgot to mention that when we were talking to him, but it would have been good content, right?
Right. He might be 7'2" by next year.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop. No, it's unreal.
Honestly, but blooming in junior year though, growing it, that's probably the prime time to grow into
it.
Ends
up being on the dream team, yeah. You know. He's a big deal.
For you, I meant for Lamy.
Oh, okay.
That's Anthony too. Yeah. Anthony too.
Yeah, it's almost like it happened a half a year late. It would have been nice to, you know, the earlier you can make a splash, the better.
True.
So if you're getting numbers as a sophomore, obviously it helps as opposed to a junior and everything. But
Very true.
That's also why I elected prep school eventually because I was like a perfect candidate for it. You know,
was it what prep school you go to? Was it Cushing?
I went to Suffield Academy.
Suffield, okay.
It's in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Man, you know, we're Quincy boys, we're city guys, man. Yeah. The first day I got out there, I'm driving by like cornfield. I'm like, Dad, no way.
Yeah. Turn this back around.
Yeah. Like, no way. But yeah, it was great, man. What an experience.
Was it so you went 4 years, RGs, you went there for a post-grad year?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So my senior year, I didn't get the looks I thought I would get, first of all. And like I said, I was still growing. So now I'm almost 6'3", probably. I'm really jumping. I'm developing a jump shot finally. And we were like, my dad thought it was the right thing. I thought it was the right thing. So yeah, that extra year was huge too. Cause if you are going to be a post grad, you can then play AAU again as an 11th grader. So I got to play one more time. Finally, I was equal age as everyone. I was no longer younger, and I could tell the difference. And that was the year I played with Middlesex Magic, actually. You know.
Oh, nice. So what made you, the great doors of Curry College, what made those appealing to you?
Oh, gosh, man. If we got into that, we'd be here until tomorrow.
Was it recruitment?
I went through those doors for a cup of coffee.
A little cup of coffee. Oh, New England's best, man. So I actually, when I was at prep school, my final three, I got offered a scholarship at Stonehill, but they wanted me to redshirt a year. And, you know, I wanted to play right away.
Yeah.
So I elected to go play at Babson. So I played my freshman year at Babson College.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And I actually only played half a year. I was doing well too. I was starting. And I was, because of prep school, you know, being 19 years old, it allowed me to start as a freshman. If I went there when I was 18, there's no chance, you know. Mm-hmm. But I got in some trouble over there, and I had to take the semester off, the second semester off. So then I kind of recalibrated And then I hurt my knee that summer, tore my knee. So two more years of recovery and everything. And the reason I chose Curry was because Malcolm Wynn, my second father, he was the only guy who would give me a chance. He was the only coach left out of all these frigging coaches that would, you know, take a shot on me. And because my knee was still like, you know, I was like 70% probably. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I chose Curry.
I just remember the year I went, I was a sophomore. I believe it was your senior year when you averaged 18 points. I think Rod Beldo was on the team too. You guys were electric.
Beldo.
Yeah.
Oh man, yes. You went to a game that
year? I went to a game that year. Yeah, you put it on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. We were you know what's funny about that year? It's like, first of all, Rodney, man, that is my brother. He was actually my roommate there.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's a player.
Oh, he's unbelievable. I thought we were gonna repeat. You know, my junior year we won the championship.
Yeah.
We had a great year. And man, Malcolm brought in a great class with Rodney and a couple guys. And this kid Manny Hutchinson, who won the state title at Milton, also was coming. And you know, because of money and everything, guys just fell through the cracks. Rodney could, you know,
where did Rodney play high school?
Situate High.
Yes.
Situate High. He scored like 1,700 at Situate. He was
an absolute beast.
I just remember seeing him and Dougie Scott going after it. Like those were fun games to watch.
Oh, that would be real fun to watch them in high school. Those two.
Curry was the experience. So tell me that I know it's different from, you know, winning champions, going to championship games in high school, but winning like a conference championship makes you qualify for the NCAA tournament, right? You guys play in the NCAA tournament in Division III?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. So same thing. Yeah, same thing.
So how did that game go? Like, I don't have any knowledge of that. Just how, like, what was the preparation for it? Who did you guys play?
Man, when I tell you, I have the chills. I have the chills thinking about it. You know, because it is seriously, guys, this is awesome. But it is that special. Like, and the cool part about Curry, first of all, we were a lot of second chance guys. My running mate, who was actually the player of the year in the league, he was our best scorer. Sadell Jones, he was a full scholarship guy at UMass Amherst.
He
played on Michael Beasley's team at Notre Dame.
Oh, wow. Our producer is a UMass alumni, so we're doing big thumbs up there.
UMass ties, baby. Anthony Gurley's one of my best friends in the world. He played over there too. But Sadell, what a player. And then we had a big guy. So we had a big three in us three. And we connected because we all kind of, you know, second chances and everything. We were all a little bit older. And so that year, when I tell you guys, I didn't go out that year. I was so locked in, like really locked in. The whole team. We weren't partying. We weren't doing that stuff. We were no beers at
the Sweets or Grey House.
Oh, that's tough to do, brother. It's tough to pull off.
I was going
to
say, I don't know about none, but not as many. Not as many as the other years, I'll tell you that. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, the Quincy freshman failure rate in college, it's got to be above 50%.
It's a 50-50 chance.
It's got to be above large, yeah.
It's so funny. You think you'll be okay because you're getting out of Quincy, right? You bring Quincy everywhere you go.
It never leaves.
It's ridiculous.
Curry was amazing, man. Man, I remember my first game back. We were playing against MIT. As a sophomore, I would say my knee was at like 75% at this point. I couldn't even get full extension, whatever. But you know, I was kind of playing through it, and I had a great game. The first game against MIT, who was top five in America, we almost beat them, but it kind of like rejuvenated me and let me realize that like good things can happen to me again, you know. And from that night on, it was it was all she wrote, man.
That's sick.
Who did you guys play? I was just wondering.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
My fault. We played so in the conference championship, we played Gordon College.
Oh yeah, Gordon College, yeah, up north there.
You know Gordon, they just had an amazing player who's playing pro right now, Eric Demers. What a player.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they had the three-time defensive player of the year, this 6'9" kid, Hans.
So that's in the same conference, right? Jesus. The CCC?
He sounds yes, like sir. An enemy.
Yeah, I know. 6'9", yeah. Hans. Christ.
Yeah, right. It's crazy. But what's cool, though, is in the semis, we played Eastern Nazarene. Eastern Nazarene had a really good program going with Coach Aller. He's no longer the coach over there. But and because it was at Curry and Eastern Naz was so close, the semifinal game, I will send you guys like a quick snippet after, was the most intense basketball game I've ever been a part of.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, 1,500 people, wall to wall. I couldn't even hear myself think, man.
Place was buzzing.
Well, I just
man, buzzing, baby. Oh.
When I played at Curry Baseball, we played ENC at Adams Field, and before the game, the pitcher like proposed to his girlfriend on the field. I think we won the game like 15-0.
Oh my! Yeah, you can't do that.
I'll let you go back to your story. I just know that these Curry versus ENC games are everything.
If you're proposing, you got to throw no.
Quincy, you can't. Tommy Fitz was on the mound. What do you think was going to happen?
Do you think she still married him after?
No.
Not a chance.
Our marriage is doomed.
Yeah. Threw that thing in the mountain.
I just said yes to a loser.
I'll let you go back on, though. So Curry, ENC, big semifinal CCC tilt.
Yeah, and they we were 15-3 in the conference that year. And Nichols got us one night in like a big high-scoring game. But other than that, Eastern Nazarene beat us both times, so we were 0-2 against Eastern Naz. It was contrasting styles, so we wanted them so bad. And when I tell you, we played the perfect first half, I think we were up 45-18 at halftime.
Oof. Let's go.
Unbelievable. We played so good that Sadell,
don't,
right?
Don't tell me he blew it, though. Like those
he'd are... kill me for saying this, but Sadell, we played so hard. Sadell was actually crying tears in the locker room at halftime. Like, actually, because that's how emotional, like, and that's how bad we freaking wanted it, yo.
This team sounds like right a dream then, team.
Yeah, this sounds incredible.
Sadell says, like, this dominant, should
be a
fucking
movie. There should be a Curry College
crying,
movie.
We're saying, Sadell, it ain't over, man. Like, of course. Man, I knew it right then. I'm like, oh God, I hope we win. They wound up storming back. We won by like 6.
There we go. There we go. The show goes on.
That would have been like a 28-3 comparison. Like, that would have been tough.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say it was more like a 10-point game. You know, they cut it loose, but definitely made it sweat a little.
You got the
bit.
W, yeah. Kiss. Yeah. Got no point spreads in D3, right?
No point.
So transitioning on from your college career to coaching, obviously you like the game of basketball, but what made coaching? And I know you're at the college, you're at some college level with Regis and high school. I see Severian, Weymouth High School, and now with Middlesex Magic. What was like your like? Oh, I want to coach. What was that moment?
And I was actually after my senior year, because we had such a terrible year, God, but luckily I had a decent year. So I got invited to like some pro combines and stuff like that. So I got signed to like some agency in Eyeball United, it was called. And man, I thought I was going to be playing, you know, like 10-year pro or whatever somewhere, not making $1 million, but you know, playing the game.
Yeah,
I love.
Yeah,
exactly. Being a professional. And I actually, I got invited to training camp in Canada. I played great, and I made it down to like the final cuts, and I got cut for the first time since like freaking whatever.
Yeah, that must be a different feeling, man.
Yeah. Oh, crazy.
Ralph Coxon, yeah.
Oh, terrible. It's terrible, gosh. You know, I thought I played well, but I get it, man. Everybody's good at that level, so. But when I came home, Drew's dad, Andy, who I'm very, very close with,
the luckiest guy in the face.
Yeah,
of the
luckiest. Yeah,
dude, is he not? I need to. I know.
They've gone to every Super Bowl. I don't get it.
Dude, he's like clockwork, dude.
He'll probably win Springsteen tickets through this.
That's great. That's awesome.
He gave me a call, actually, like right when I came home, beginning of September. He said Weymouth High's freshman job was open, and he knew Coach Dolan, and he thought I should try it out. I went in there and gave it a try, and man, the first day, I fell in love. I actually, you know what? Backtrack. The first time I coached was with Andy, okay? And they'll kill me for this, but the eighth, I coached Drew and James and Carl and JT and all those guys in eighth grade.
Wow.
When my knee was hurt, yeah. And Andy helped me get back in the gym and just feel better. And that's when I fell in love with it, seeing the guys get better and come together and everything. Ask them about that year sometime.
I will.
Yeah. But that was when I started. So then when I came back, I had a tiny bit taste of it, but not exactly. And then, yeah, Weymouth freshman was and I also hopped on with Middlesex, I believe, that spring.
What year was that?
So this is 2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a good 5 years under your belt coaching now.
Yeah. Got a resume going.
Getting it going, you know. I think it was 15. It might have been 14. You know what? I think it was 14, summer.
What are your current coaching gigs right now?
So right now I did the second year in a row. I did the JV at Zavarian.
Oh, nice. Yeah, great program.
Great program. The assistant varsity, one of my
Catholic conference
kid. Yeah. Catholic. Oh my gosh. That is the best league in the MIA. Yeah. Oh,
I can't imagine. I bet the JV is a lot of like the public school varsity. I mean, it has to be right up there. Yeah.
You CM ride or die over here.
CM's JV is ridiculous. So well coached. I mean, we beat BC High this year with Coach Evans, and man, it was like we won the Super Bowl.
I forgot he was coaching over there. I haven't seen him in a while.
He does a good job.
Coaching with like COVID this year? I mean, was it restricted?
Had to be, right?
I mean, but like how restricted?
Yeah, how different?
I mean, you couldn't just go to the gyms the way Archie set it up. You know, your gym times were this, and this. You know, do you have to clean the courts and your games and all that? I mean, you played less games. What kind of, COVID restrictions?
No bathroom breaks.
Pretty much all of that, man. All of that. It was a grind. To say the least. It took first of all, it takes a joint effort, right, from the whole community, from top to bottom. But Zavarian did a great job. The leagues do a great job. AAU tournaments, everyone's so diligent with it. So it's not even that bad when you're in the moment, right? So when you're coaching and everything, yeah, you got to wear a mask on. The poor kids have to play with them.
I know.
That's crazy.
I'm seeing these pictures and publications. I'm like, I could never do that, man. Especially now, I'd get winded and be like, trying to breathe.
Especially basketball. Yeah, Christ.
Falling and crying on the court.
That's not ideal.
I get reprimanded for like taking mine down to like, yell out a play or something. Never mind those guys, they have to do it the whole time. So, one thing I focused on as a coach basketball wise was conditioning this year, because the poor kids got to be in better shape than normal to breathe with those masks. And,
I think I would have quit. I wasn't that good.
If I was a role guy, I don't know, buddy.
If I'm the sixth man or less, I think that's it. This is God telling me no.
Double digits.
Maybe tomorrow.
And you know what? You kind of saw that a little bit around. I think Ross's were a little smaller.
Oh, okay.
The tough part would be, we got hit by COVID, our program. So I don't think the varsity played with a full roster one game.
Wow.
I did not play with a full roster one game. I did not have my full roster for any of the games. So, there's a lot of moving parts, but, Tessie as a coach. And
I asked AG this question. What kind of Quincy roots you still bring to the table in the game of basketball? It's got to be something you were growing up with, I don't know, playing like 50-something with your boys. Is there some type of mentality? I don't know, some type of work ethic. I just want to know.
That is a spectacular question. Let's see. First of all, MVP camp, right? We used to all go to a Bama camp.
Oh, that's the best camp. Yep. That was the best. That was.
outside of Todd Reed's All-Star Baseball Camp.
Shout out to Todd.
And honestly, this was better than that, but I loved All-Star Baseball Camp so much.
Todd Reed, you know?
I mean, that was a workout and a half. Like, you woke up sore at Bentley. That was the best camp ever, MVP camp.
Wasn't it? I took a lot of that with me, right? Bob Fisher, you know, Marshfield coach, Quincy Brockley, absolute legend. Yeah, he's, you know, I'm close with him to this day. And he taught me how to play hard, man. Like, he taught us how to play the game hard, right? And like, as you coach now, it's amazing. It sucks having to coach effort. You know, like, there's a million things going on in a basketball game. The last thing the coach wants to do is have to motivate so much and coach effort so much. So that's definitely the biggest thing. And then, like, AG, right? We used to play against each other at the Y all the time. And it's funny because now it's an individual workout generation, right? Go to the gym, bring your speaker, make sure you film it so everybody knows you're working out.
AirPods in, not tell you saying a word.
Put on the right.
Make sure you're in front of the mirror.
Have someone like hit you with some foam pads while you're doing stuff. And, you know, like, we were the opposite. We would go to the gym and there were 20 people there, and you'd play 5-on-5 for 6 hours, and you wouldn't play unless you won, right? Because then you're sitting for whatever, an hour, and your ride left or something. So, like, game point mentality kind of, right? At the Y, no easy buckets. I mean, I would say I brought that, you know, playing with the older kids when I was younger, getting killed. And, you know, it was a war, man. The YMCA in Quincy was...
It was like you.
I couldn't sniff that court. Like, I didn't want to get on that court with the guys who were running. No.
And the Quincy mentality, honestly, like, the definition is like, it's winner's ball. It's like, my dad would take me down to those courts at Faxon where, you know, when there was courts, beat me 11-0 three times in a row, and we'd go home. like literally that like happened, and I'd be fucking so mad, and then, you know, it's just an awful Saturday. Like, literally, I'd be like fucking, I'm in like seventh grade, and it was like, but you know what, that's kind of what we know, and like,
yeah, mentality.
He was never gonna give me a fucking easy
shout out, Paul Forbes.
There you go.
I'm not gonna shout that bastard.
He's an Archie's basketball legend, he's a Hall of Famer.
That's another thing, Lombros.
We might have to have him on.
That was my like question before the last question tonight. Are we sniffing the Hall of Fame and Archie's here? I think he got it.
You know what's funny, man? I hope so, but I actually I'm sniffing it at Curry though. I think it's seven years maybe, so I think I'm up for it in a year or two in college, which would be awesome. You know, I would love that.
Did you do an extra year there, or did you just do 4 years?
What, at Curry?
Yeah.
So I actually only did 3 years at Curry because my freshman year at Babson, I played 11 or 12 games.
Oh, okay.
So you planned that.
So you did three. So like you knew that like 7 years later, you get, that's like what Paul Pierce did. He like did a year on the bench. So like he didn't have to go in the hall, have a chance of not getting a first time Hall of Fame ballot. While there was Kevin Garnett, exactly. Kobe Bryant. If you look at the Hall of Fame ballot this year, it's like him and Chris Bosh. Like, yeah. Chris Bosh is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, which he just does not deserve.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're probably right. Wow, so he's gonna get that because of lack of names on the list?
Paul Pierce?
No, Chris Bosh.
Yeah, Chris Bosh probably should.
I mean...
I'd have to look at his career.
I'd have to argue. Yeah, I mean, I think that's an argument.
His Raptors days were great.
He was the third man.
His best year was 24-12 was his best year in Toronto.
But does Dennis Rodman become a Hall of Famer? I mean,
but does the, yes. Is basketball, is he, like baseball, yeah, where like they'll just Dennis shut Rodman's everyone out?
Yeah. Oh man, you guys got me hung up on if Bosh is the first.
Dennis Rodman is definitely not in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think so.
He definitely is.
He's in my Hall of Fame.
He has to be, man. He got titles with the Pistons and the Bulls.
He was a great player, but that's what Chris Bosh led the league in rebounding.
He was the best.
Yeah, him and Barkley are probably two of the greatest rebounders of all time. I mean,
you know what kills me, guys, and I would love to hear your input on it, is it's called the most valuable player, but it should be called like the MOP. It's about offense. And
yeah,
I just wish somehow there were more defensive metrics that were like.
Yeah, take away the three-point line. That's what it is. That's what the game's become. Just take it back or move it back. I mean,
yeah,
make the court right. wider. It just become a three-point game.
You even see, I mean, there's guys like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant who play. I mean, obviously, they're top five players ever play the game. Kobe, top 10, whatever you want to say it. But they both played offensive and defense like it was second nature. You have a lot of these guys, and I won't say specific. Well, I guess like James Harden, who doesn't care at all about defense, will just take the ball and, you know, draw a foul or something like that. You don't see guys who are working both ways, I should probably say.
And that's where, like a guy like Rudy Gobert, like for the Jazz, like watching him play this other last night, like he's like the should be the MVP, I guess. They just funnel him through. Right, the Jazz literally play defense,
Hall of Fame,
and they push you into the middle of the court, into the middle of the paint, and he's ready, and he's gonna block your fucking shot. And that's they're what 29-10 now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what we used to do with James Marcellus at Archbishop Williams. Jamesy, we just got up and everyone, go ahead, drive by us, get your shot, block off.
Good luck.
We're telling you to go that way.
At the end of the day, though,
with the Jazz, and I'll just put my final note on this, regular season's for chumps. They're going to lose in the playoffs. Lakers, Clippers.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
You know what they remind me of, actually, guys? They remind me of the Bucks from the last couple of years. Yep. You know, they have a ton of great depth. They have shooting like depth, you know, wins regular season games, like, you know, having 10, 11, 12 guys. So if you're on the, you know, second night of a back to back or something, you can still beat a decent team or whatever. But in the playoffs, no way.
My favorite team by far this year is definitely been the Phoenix Suns. I mean, Chris Paul has brought to that team. I think they're in third place in the Western Conference, which is way tougher than the Eastern Conference. Devin Booker is a beast. Even I watched the game when they played the Lakers a couple weeks ago. They beat the Lakers. That guy, DeAndre Ayton's absolute mammoth.
He's nice, yeah.
He looks like a –
He's not that
how
guy.
How old
he's
is he?
He was at number one overall.
He's young, yeah.
I know that.
No,
I'm just
I know.
Saying,
yeah. 21, he looks like shit. He's 38.
Yeah. No, he does.
Brick shithouse, yeah.
Literally, that's death.
Last question here.
We might have to bring him back on for just a straight NBA talk.
Oh, no. Great NBA talk.
Yeah.
I would love to bring it back on
for the playoffs.
You got a March Madness team this year?
It's hard to go against Gonzaga.
I'm all in on Gonzaga.
I don't want to get my bracket away. It's Gonzaga. They're how do you not?
Undefeated. That's just what scares you.
It's not. The Big Ten is
I was just going to say, it's almost like they were better off losing the other night. You know?
Yeah. They should have.
Kind
of get
it out.
Take the L.
No, but even that top left bracket, it's like kind of the weakest of them all, too.
That's what it wants you to think, brother. That's March Madness.
I like Luka Garza as a player, but I don't think that IO team's that great. I think that's...
Their shooters hurt, too, right?
Yeah.
Weak camp or...
That whole Big Ten, that division this year is fucking crazy.
It is. They're unbelievable.
Lambros, have you ever heard of anything about the North Texas basketball team? I have them in, like, my bracket busters or whatever. I just got, like, draw that. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah, how fucked is he?
That's honestly, what I said to the guy,
You know what? At this time, man, every year I think I know college hoop. My bracket's terrible. So
yeah,
it's the way it goes.
This year, I haven't followed it as much. I've been following more NBA, and I've been coaching so much myself that I haven't. So my bracket might be okay this year because I know.
Yeah, it might be the year.
This is just
exactly.
In general
uninformed
too.
Opinions.
It's just in general too. Like your fantasy football team. Like no one gives a shit about your fantasy football team. No one cares about anyone's bracket either. It's just for fun.
Yeah.
Right.
But let's ride North Texas.
Yeah.
That being
I'm
said.
I'm in.
Lambros, appreciate you coming on the show, man. This is great. We're definitely going to have you on again. And, best of luck with everything going forward. Quincy Legend, one love.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Guys, Thanks so much, fellas. This was awesome, man.
That was good. Great stuff. That was good. Send us that clip. Send us that clip.
Oh, I will. I will. Yes, sir. All right.
That was Lombros Papalombros. That's a long name. Love it.
Elite, yes.
Another great guest here, you know, a college basketball night. But we're going to transition now. A lot of NFL free agency talk this week in regards to the New England Patriots. I think there's a lot to talk about here, huh, guys?
They picked up a few guys, yeah. Did something. Thank Christ.
So I got guys down the line. I mean, actually, we haven't talked about this yet, so I'll get into it. So they signed Cam Newton to a one-year deal. I'm going to share my opinion on it. I've shared it on the social media platforms of Steel and Naz. I don't see why they would do it. It's like when you pay someone to do anything and they don't do a good job, like you don't hire them again. That's literally what's happening here. Or are they just hoping that they're going to get a better version of Cam Newton? Or is there another quarterback yet to come? And I really hope the second part there. I'll let one of you guys have the floor.
Yeah, fuck that, dude. He can't throw the football, dude.
He literally can't.
They get a 3-yard pass in the dirt. Come on.
I don't like the Cam Newton signing. You'd be shocked to like this signing even a little bit. But he does now have weapons. Do you bring back a little bit of an offensive line? Cannon got switched. Obviously, we'll talk about it. But, I mean, maybe he's, you know, going to be just crushing the double tight end set there. I don't know. You have Bourne and Aguilar.
I said it during my rant, though. Like, this team that we know and love, I know we don't have number 12 under center anymore, but you don't settle for mediocrity here.
No.
You don't. The first round exit is not acceptable, especially the guys who they're bringing in right now. I mean, we'll get on to the tight ends and who else they picked up in a second, but I'm really angry about them. Like,
great locker room guy, though. Great locker room guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Keep him for the fits.
Yeah, awful.
Keep him for the fits. That's about it.
Yeah.
And keep him so he gets that 140-yard pass over. So Brendan Myers dies.
Brendan Myers gives me some
Brendan Myers, what a terrible tweet.
Do you want a crazy hot take, actually?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson just got allegations of sexual assault. Yep. I'm not making light of that in any way. But Bill Belichick planted that news so we can get him cheaper.
That's such a hot take.
I just got set on fire.
Alex Jones is on the building.
InfoWars.
Just saying. I'm just saying. He might have done that. I wouldn't put it past Bill.
I just think when it comes down to it, though, there were guys out there like, I would have loved seeing Ryan Fitzpatrick sling the ball.
Oh, come on.
I wouldn't care if he
settled. You just said don't settle for mediocrity. he's literally the definition of mediocrity.
But he can actually throw the ball.
You open the dictionary.
He can actually
throw the ball. This fat fucking beard.
He can put you in a position to win the game. Gardner Minshew, too. It was all about Minshew.
Another definition of fucking mediocrity.
Yeah, but at least it would be fucking hilarious.
That's what I'm saying.
We might go down, but it would be
hilarious. He's funny.
He's not funny if he's losing like that, though. He's wearing those cute little get-ups.
You look me in the eyes
cool.
right now and tell me you want fucking Gardner Minshew as New England Patriots quarterback over fucking...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, over Cam Newton, yes.
Yeah.
But, like, to be upset about it, like...
Well, I'd like them to be a 1-2 punch, ideally. If I can have both, I want both. Put it this way, I'm not even a Pats fan anymore, so fucking... Yeah, I don't know. I've said I'm a Tampa guy full and through now. I will be moving there probably next winter.
All right.
So whatever you guys want to do, but I'll enjoy laughing. So I think Cam and Minshew Mania here, I think it's probably the smartest thing they could do.
Great touchdown celebrations whenever they get one or two.
We're going to get on to the positive side, which is them picking up the top two tight ends in free agency. Jonnu Smith. From the Titans is a bat out of hell.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is a force to be reckoned with. I remember being in Nashville watching them play the Patriots with you that day.
Great city.
The guy brings up the chicken leg like we were gone. But Jonnu Smith had like a great, that was probably his best game as like in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you recall, I think he had like a touchdown or two. Marcus Mariota was looking like Tom Brady while Tom Brady was on the field. And, you know, I'm a big fan of this Jonnu pickup. Like I said, absolute beast. Everything you want out of a guy in the tight end. He can run block. He can, you know, catch in the red zone. Which we need. We need touchdowns this year. No threes.
No boy, Cam Newton running it for a fucking QB draw from like 7 yards out and getting stuffed.
Yeah. The fucking ball.
And this guy can run. It's like the Boobie Miles thing. Yeah. And he can pass. He can, they've given him the ball and he's scored multiple occasions.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You got any take on Jonnu Smith here, Anton?
I'll save my take for after Hunter Henry, I guess.
Okay, so Hunter Henry signed the day afterwards. Obviously, an absolute stallion out of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Stallion.
Over Jonnu Smith. So Hunter Henry was the top tight end in the NFL free agency. And the Patriots got to him after the Patriots 49-0 shit stomping against the Chargers. You know, Big Bill goes up, gives him a nice hug, says, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
And he does. He went and got him.
Here he is.
That was so sexual. Like, that was the weirdest thing. That was. I can see Shawnee O saying that to a Tinder date.
No offense, you know Shawnee. I'm right, though. You know I'm right.
Well, he got him.
Yeah.
Got him.
Yeah.
And that serial killer way.
Get over that one.
Yeah. That was good. That was good, Naz.
So top two tight ends in free agency, I think big pickups. You see Jalen Mills come in, who's kind of like a corner slash safety.
Can I give my tight end?
Yeah, take your take then.
We gave a fuck ton of money to these people. We never paid Tom Brady a dime. That's one. But they just ruined fantasy for two tight ends out of our thin position. Fucking Hunter Henry has been sixth in the league in fantasy, in stats of like across the boards in 2018. We don't know who to play every week now. It's a mess. It's a goddamn mess.
That's a fucking disgrace.
Yeah. Like, don't do this to me, Bill.
Yeah, Bill. We got DraftKings to play twice.
And I gave all the positive takes for the tight ends, and I'll say that. But, you know, I really got to give this negative one, and it goes right to, you know, Magic Mike's going to like this. It goes right next to Coach Subway. He found out that, you know, Dalton Keene, these guys who they got last year, Asiata, whatever, how do you say his last name? Exactly. You don't even know how to say it either. They were not the guys who Bill thought they were. So he said, you know what? I'm going to put down the chess pieces, and I'm going to pick up the checkers ones because we're going to buy some. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, not, I mean, do we have like seven tight ends on the roster right now?
They just traded Ryan Izzo to the Texans for a washing machine.
So. Yeah, it does smell. Yeah,
like a seventh round pick, like that. So
and
we I'd should, rather wash.
Yeah, no, throw out the washing machine. Like who gives a fuck?
Just trading a player with picks and just swapping them in rounds. It's literally trading.
I don't. And again, back on your Deshaun Watson thing, I don't know how they couldn't have got Ryan Izzo for Deshaun Watson. Like that would have been a great trade.
Straight up, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll clear it.
Throwing a bag of balls, you know, good. Yeah.
With the allegations, the value goes down. I'm just saying.
That's my point. We're making.
How new is that news? Like today, new
what? Ryan like yesterday, maybe.
No, the Deshaun Watson.
It's been lingering like around
a week,
last week.
Yeah, I don't know the exact.
But it's like here and there, you know.
Yeah, not a lot of facts out there.
No, I don't want even. It's not really something to joke about, really. So it's not.
No, it's not.
He brought Brown here, so
yeah.
I don't even know how much that matters to the Patriot way anymore.
On to the next one. So
we had Aaron Hernandez.
That too. That too.
Pretty bad guy, yeah.
It's not a good one.
No. So Jalen Mills, who's a corner, you know, can move around everything.
Love it.
I love the pickup, you know, was very good with the Eagles despite the Eagles sucking. Patrick Chung, you know, called it quits today, actually. I want to congratulate Patrick on a great career.
Great guy.
Great physical guy. You know, has a house right on Lake Winnipesaukee. Who doesn't love Lake Winnipesaukee?
Great place. Great place.
Yeah.
Good times.
I think it's a good pickup, and it's a good start to, you know, finding more of a foundation on the defensive end because, you know, we say how bad the offense was last year. There were a couple games, in particular that Bills game at the end of the season, where that defense was just not there at all.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs torched that second.
And he's a peak. Thank you, Stephon Diggs. He won me my fantasy league in that game. Respect.
I feel that they still too had, like, had a fucking solid secondary.
No, they did. One of the best in football, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
But it always does feel like it with Bill that they'll just get lit up sometimes. I don't know if it's like his game plan, the bend don't break. I don't know what it is.
I think it comes down to the turnovers and the amount of time that the defense spends on the field.
How much Cam Newton wants to rip open his fucking shirt.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think Matt Judon's another one they picked up.
That's my favorite pickup of them all.
Yeah. That was a big.
He should be a beast.
He was big on the Ravens last year.
Well, so he's kind of and he plays kind of the multiple position type deal that Bill's kind of a genius with.
Like
Bill's
Jamie Collins
to line up. He'll play linebacker.
And Mills is the same way too. They're both like
him
all
against
over the
him
place.
On the other side of Chase Winovich is just going to be a nightmare. I mean, that would be kind of cool. Finally, we have that. That's kind of J.J. Watt. We should get him too. That just popped in my head. That would be fucking awesome. Yeah, he's a free agent.
No, he signed with the Cardinals, dude.
Jesus
Christ. Wake up.
They got AJ Green as well.
It's fine. We're good. Yeah, absolutely.
No, they're going to be kind of electric to watch, which is rare to say for the fucking Arizona Cardinals.
But that franchise is going to blow it.
Yeah.
On the receiving end, you know what? I look at these receivers, and you can talk a lot of smack about them, but at least they did something to try to improve this receiving core because it was the worst piece of shit I've ever seen last year. Nelson Agholor was one of the worst players I've ever seen on the Eagles. He kind of,
he was good on the Raiders.
That's what I'm saying. He redid his career. He redid his career on the Raiders, close to, I think, 1,000 yards. He broke it. He's a deep threat. Good hands. And then Kendrick Bourne, on the other hand, who I think is like
great name.
Yeah. Oh, great name. But like, I think the same exact product
identity,
the same exact product that they have in Jacoby Myers. I think he's the same thing. Good catch. It runs a good route, can catch the ball, but can't break any tackles or run anywhere.
Oh yeah. At least Agholor might be able to like somewhat escape from a corner. Like he might be able to, know what I mean? Like, yeah,
Myers is a good player. I don't think they're done. They have a ton of catch space.
No, they're not done.
Give me Allen Robinson.
What is it, like day three of free agency right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny Stills just signed
up. Technically like day two, because like first
official.
I'm going to regret not saying what I said about the Pats, but I'll probably be back on the bandwagon at some point outside. Yeah. That's just how it goes for me. But
just get a couple.
Yeah. They're killing it right now. They are. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
The NFL just got Brady Mahomes, like, in the Super Bowl. You don't think they want Brady Belichick for the next one? That's like the one thing that can one-up it.
Yeah, that will one-up
it. Like, that's like the only possible way to go up.
But to everyone's point here, it will never happen if Cam Newton's under center. It will never happen.
I agree with that.
Never.
Yeah. These great pickups are great, but Cam ain't doing it.
Yeah.
He's not a Super Bowl guy.
Now, the last pickup I like to discuss here is Shawnee O's boy here, who's been on stealing as Kyle Van Noy. After getting cut after a year, signing a $50 million deal with $31 million guaranteed, gets cut by the Dolphins, comes back to Big Bill in a prove-it deal, even though he got paid. No, actually, you know what? It was kind of a good deal. It was 2 years, like $14 million, which isn't that much if you're talking about a premier linebacker in this league. But, I mean, taking home $31 million in 1 year, I think Kyle Van Noy is the real winner here.
I fucking love Kyle Van Noy. So glad he's back.
Just one less year, you don't have to get concussions. Like, he can retire a couple years quicker. I mean,
he knows all these guys in the secondary. He knows the coaching staff. It's a slam dunk move. If he went anywhere else, he wouldn't have got this. I mean, he wouldn't have got money no matter, I think, wherever he went.
Pretty sure he's sneakily on the 2010s, like, Pat's all-decade team.
Yeah.
I think he's like the third.
Has he been here long enough?
I think he's like on there. It was 2016, like three, 2017, years. Yeah. Two rings.
He's a huge
player in 2018. Yeah, like that playoff run. He's massive.
No, wasn't it the last Super Bowl? He had like a.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He signed with the Dolphins.
His last snap with the Patriots was when we lost to the Titans in the wild card round.
No, the Super Bowl
before that.
He was great that year.
Unbelievable.
We're going to predict now what the Patriots will do going forward. So I'll start with my prediction. Obviously, you look at all these positions, we got some defensive tackles, defensive ends, and then you lose guys in Joe Tooney.
Sucks. Chiefs, dude.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Tooney's fine to me. David Andrews is necessary.
Yeah, David Andrews is tough. David Andrews still hasn't picked the team
What a
yet.
King. The Dolphins, I love that guy.
The Dolphins was his primary target, I guess, but they just signed a center today, so he might go elsewhere. I really hope he doesn't go to the Chiefs. I don't know if they have a center over there, but anyways. So this direction now, you have all these defensive linemen, you have these receivers, you have these tight ends, you have all these positions, but you're still kind of wondering, are they going to do something else at the quarterback position? And it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, I would love a Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah, I would love a Russell Wilson. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. For me, I think they're going to get, with number 15 in the draft, they're going to take a quarterback. And what I like to see, I mean, the Trey Lance guy is great. It was great, but I don't even think he's going to be around by then. Give me someone who is veteran, who is an experienced guy. I know he played with an all-star team. Feed me Mac Jones. This guy can move around. He can throw the ball. It's been proven he can win in the championship game, beat these big games. He's a big-time gamer, and I'm all for that.
Bama QB, man. Bama QB. You got to be worried. Got to be worried. Tua's the only one of those guys that's even sniffed success.
I was going to say, has he sniffed it, though?
Not really.
He's a lefty, though.
He can't throw. Who has a better arm, him or Tim Tebow? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yikes. That's what I'm
tough
saying.
Tough company.
Mac Jones got a...
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I could see Bill trading down like always.
As always,
it's easy. And, you know, drafting a Kyle Trask in the second or third round from Florida. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. He's smaller, I believe, but... You know, he had that beast tight end. I could see him drafting that.
Kyle Pitts, yeah.
25 tight ends.
I would take Kyle Pitts in a heartbeat. Even though we got those two, we're in a fucking heartbeat.
He's already tried this before, though, with Jarrett Stidham. You don't think he's going to be like, all right, I've tried this before. It didn't really work out that well, so maybe let's try to shoot for someone else. Because he's doing he's doing things this year that he is doing in free agency that he's never done before, which is actually spend money.
No, that's why I think we're going to pick at 15. I don't know who it is, but like we never do free agency. And this year he did a shit ton of it. We always trade, do whatever. I think he's going to make a pick.
And then you ask yourself, what? I mean, I get the cap space and everything like that. You didn't have as much cap space as you did back when Tom Brady was quarterback.
One mention of how bad he fleeced the Texans. He just gave away Marcus Cannon, who just skipped a season, a 30-something-year-old offensive tackle. Didn't play a game this year, so he's going to suck. And it was a $7 million cap hit. He just said, take him.
Yeah.
And freed up $7 million. Nobody, he just absolutely owned them.
It's a beautiful thing.
The Texans are terrible. That's a horrible thing.
That's what you can do, though, when you have that much depth in the offensive line. Like, you can just... Let him see you.
I don't think they go offensive line in the draft either.
I really hope not. They've done enough.
I know.
That Marcus Cannon release probably hit Joey Boats pretty hard. I think he's a big Marcus Cannon guy. Yeah.
I like
Shout out Joey Boats. We'll have you on soon again.
He's a 300-pound fucking offensive lineman who didn't play for a season. Like, that's...
Sounds like a smart move getting rid of him.
Sounds like he might have got the 400.
Yeah.
My point I was going to make, though, is... You make all these moves in free agency, and I get the cap space. It wasn't as favorable back then. But you had the greatest quarterback to ever walk this earth, and you decide not to do anything in free agency. And now you have Cam Newton or whoever it is as your quarterback, and all of a sudden, it's time to make moves? Like, I just don't understand like what that logic or his counterpoint would be to that, you know, take, you know?
It's weird because of how, into it Bill Belichick is, because I can see, like, if it was me, I wouldn't do that out of sheer laziness. Like, I'd be like, dude, I have fucking Tom Brady. I don't need these free agents. I'll see you in September. But, Bill's obviously completely locked in the same way, so I don't know why he didn't do it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Seeing another thing in the NFL, seeing Carson Wentz in a Colts jersey was kind of weird.
Yeah, gross.
That was really weird.
Yeah, disgusting.
That red hair just doesn't go with the Colts blue. I don't know.
No, it screams out of it, dude. It's wild.
And then, changers, Andy Dalton on the Bears. That is gross.
Yeah, I love it.
Shout out to Big Cat. He's just going to burn to the ground.
It's like, what are the Bears doing? I just can't wrap my head around it.
What's Mitch doing?
Give us Khalil Mack.
That's
fuck
what I was
going to
say. Mitch Trubisky just signed as the backup for the Bills. Kind of love it.
He said,
I don't want to suck anymore. I'm just going to back up and maybe win something.
Yeah.
Good move, but that's a great move.
I think it is a great move.
They'll love him up there in New York. He'll fucking be close to Barcelona.
Why go to a terrible team where you can start and just end your career?
Yeah.
When you can just go play for a good team and back up.
Yeah.
Look at all these guys like Chad Henne.
Daniel, baby.
Yeah, they just know their place. They're going to make a paycheck.
Quarterback's the greatest job of all time. Yeah. You don't get the concussions and you make millions of dollars.
I'm in the NFL. You know what I mean?
No,
you get the sex.
There are some guys, though, who just get bounced out of the league because they keep trying to be the guy. And it's like, all right, pal, maybe you're not the guy. Maybe you back up. And, play 14 years and don't do anything. That's what I see Gardner. I'm hoping for this Gardner throw, Cam Newton passing that Magic Mike brought up. But Gardner makes
great.
You.
It's just a great combo. It would be the best combo of all time, quarterback wise.
Oh, yeah. Gardner Minshew, Josh Dobbs, though, are just the definition of feed me 12 years of NFL paychecks and never see a snap.
No, give me two games a year. I need them to come in two times
week
a year.
17.
Minshew, or one big game, fourth quarter, someone goes down, and it's just Minshew's got to save it. let's go.
No, he's going to drive 80 yards. No one expects you to, so if you don't,
bang.
Wow.
When Henny ran for that first down or whatever, that was fucking hysterical.
Chad Henny made a living off it. Hoyer has. Fitzpatrick has. Fitzpatrick's kind of the ultimate,
Hoyer had it made too because he was behind Brady.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean. Like and then he literally had to sit there.
He actually had. They actually were like, "Oh, maybe he's actually good or something." They put him in that Chiefs game. He blew it on
Mohegan Monday. Mohegan Monday. That was a tough watch.
Yeah, that was.
That was a good night though. No, good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, I lost $100. Not bad.
Well, you saw me at the roulette table, but
yeah, you were hot in that morning, boy. Nas hit for like a quick 300. We walked the fuck out. And
a 300?
600?
A G-bar, man. Come
my
on,
apologies. Yeah. I didn't mean to undercut you there. It was electric. Yeah. I was so hungover, I didn't even know what was happening. But he was like, yeah, just made a ton of money. Let's go.
I've never left a casino up.
It was in a span of like 5 minutes. It was fast.
It was pretty legendary.
Yeah, get out of there as fast as possible.
Let's hope the fucking Patriots can hit some wins.
That'd be great. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in, as well as Anthony Green and Lambros, Papa Lambros. I got that name down now for coming on the pod. Best of luck to everyone who entered our Steel Naz Bracket Challenge. Let's go North Texas, baby. Let's ride. Also, tune into the Mass Music Morning Show on their channel, 10 a.m. on weekday mornings. Again, that's all from Steel Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. One love. Yep. The studio approved.
Yes.
Yes, very nice.